Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 1st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 102, the second paragraph that begins with, "Your job now is to be at the place." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H., who will be reading the 12 steps, Rhonda R. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Laura R., Dion R., and Carol L. The share ID for Tuesday, November 30th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,160. That's 18160. And this morning's Wednesday, December 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,169. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Leslie W. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you so much for all you do for our group. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people who, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service today. And that I pass.
And thank you. Thank you, Terry H. And Rhonda R., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Yes, good morning, and thank you for your service. I am Rhonda R., a very grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 102. The second paragraph that begins with your job is now to be at the place. And good morning, Laura R., if you would get us started, please.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. What a great paragraph. So much fun. Well, I have next to the line, your job is now to be a place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others, that this is now God's job for me. Once I get through the steps, now we're on step 12, we're talking about, you know, being of maximum service, to be able to sponsor, to be able to show up to my family, whatever the case may be. It's now, you know, one line that pops in my head is that our very lives as ex-prom drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may meet their needs. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I'm going to get or what I'm going to take. And that's what it used to be when I would go to different, you know, events or be with family or, you know, when I was in the food, it was always about, well, am I going to get another helping? Is someone going to see me? Just, I want more. Me. You know, I don't want to share. Dang it, they want to share with me. Like, I don't want to share with you. That was the worst, you know, if you ever had to share like something with someone and you're just like, oh, I just want to eat the whole thing. And then you put your fork down and just like pretend that you're not wanting to eat the whole darn piece of whatever it is. Oh, just the nightmare. But that's not what, you know, once we get through the steps, we get to a place of neutrality, right? We're in, you know, we're safe and protected. And when I go to places now, I don't have to be, it's not about me. You know, I could do the dishes. I can clean up. I could help make the food. You know, I'm neutral, you know, I'm able to be there and just, it's not even about the food. I mean, a lot of times, depending on what my family eats, I don't eat with them. If we go to an event, I bring my food with me. I put it in the fridge. I microwave it when it's time for me to eat. And I'm there just to be with my family. It's again, not about the food. I was looking up the word sorted and, got off the page. All right, sorted, different words for sorted were dirty, filthy, mucky, or sleazy, seedy, seamy. You know, we're able to go into these, well, actually, that was the way my life was before I got abstinent, you know, and now what's funny is that, again, if I needed to go into a spot like that and be on the firing line of life and put on the armor of God, I'm protected, you know, I'm protected and I'm able to be of service for someone and able to go into any situation, a sponsor situation, or if there's a 12-step call that needs to be taken care of, which I don't necessarily haven't found that in this program as much. But if someone does need the help or is looking for a sponsor, we're there, we're recovered. We're able to be there and be of service once we hit this step. So I cannot wait to hear what everyone else has to say. It's so nice to be of maximum service to other people. For the most part, again, I am still selfish and self-centered, and that's the root of my troubles. But to the best of my ability, I do this work and try to be of service to others and grow each and every day with God's help and with all of you. So with that, I will pass and can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura R. from Colorado. Okay, so although we do value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this second paragraph, page 102?
Lynn D., California.
Lynn B., California.
Carol Q.
Carol Q. Okay, we'll start with you two. Lynn B., go ahead, followed by Carol Q. Good morning, Lynn.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lynn D., recovered compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. And yeah, maximum service, you know, it just doesn't say service. I think, you know, I think for me, just saying the word service is kind of a little bit of half measures and a little bit selfish, but maximum service really makes me think. And it allows me to go more from selfish plane to kind of God plane. What does God want for me for service? And I've been thinking lately for a while now, it says in the A or the OA 12 and 12 about service inside and outside of program. And maybe I didn't catch that before, but now, you know, I like to think every year I'm getting bolder and bolder to do service outside of program as far as OA works. And so just keeping that in the forefront of my mind. But yeah, maximum service. He didn't put that word in there for nothing. So really keeps me on that service plane away from kind of like, oh, to do good, what Lynn wants to do good, you know, somebody needs me to do anything. Oh, that's the other thing. If somebody's asking me to do something, I know for myself, it's very hard for us to ask for help. And so if somebody's asking me to do something, I take that in and go, wow, they're really asking me, they must really need me. And so I take that into consideration when doing service. And the yes always comes a little bit easier. So, and with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Lindy in California. And Carol Q, go ahead, please.
Good morning. It's Carol Q, compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada, recovered compulsive overeater. And it's a real miracle for me, and I thank everyone for their service. When it says your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere that you can be helpful. And this is what I'm trying to live today, and I'm very grateful for my higher power. In the morning when I get up, I ask, where would you have me be today, and how would you have me act? What do I need to say? I depend totally now on my higher power, and he has kept me abstinent. I have recently been to invites where I'm at restaurants and that, and I'm so grateful that I can sit there and eat the food that is good for me and to be company to the people I'm with. And oftentimes I will find in a second that I will be judging someone and instantly I will faint. I pray for a miracle for that person. My sponsor had told me that, and it really takes away all that judgment I have of others. And, you know, even though I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, I recognize that from somebody else when I see it, and I feel bad for them and not wanting to judge. So I'm asking my higher power for that help. It feels good. You know, I go to my family and I can be present at a meal. I can go out and go for walks and talk and enjoy each other. And it's just a miracle in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. And thank you so much, everyone, for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carol Q in Ontario, Canada. Okay, we are on page 102, the second paragraph that begins with "Your job is now to be at the place." And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I'm ready for some names.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Wendy M.
Arlene B.
Who is that B? I got Wendy M.
No, Arlene.
Who is the Arlene? Arlene B. and Dion, and I got you, Wendy. Anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. Okay. Let's stop there. I have Jody E., Wendy M., Arlene B., Dion R., Sherry Josie, and Dawn B. So go ahead, please, Jody E.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I have this highlighted and starred and underlined. I love this paragraph. It's another direction for me. It tells me what my motives in my life should be, to be of maximum helpfulness to others. And if that is my motive, I can go anywhere and do anything. I can be on the firing line of life. In other words, I can be at the forefront of whatever I feel is important. I can expose myself to danger, to risk, to ridicule, to rejection. But if I believe it's God's will for me and that I can be helpful, God will keep me unharmed. That gives me a lot of confidence and courage to do what I think is right, to speak up when I feel the truth should be spoken, my truth, when I feel that justice has not been done, I can speak up rather than stay quiet. And I don't have to fear being killed, being shot, being run down. I might be criticized, yes. I might be contradicted. I might be ostracized even. But if I believe that I'm doing God's will and my motive is to be helpful, God will keep me unharmed. That's a beautiful promise. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. And Wendy M., you're up, followed by Arlene B. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So what I want to say is, for me, there's two worlds. There's either Wendy's world or God's world. I like to keep things really simple. And I grew up with the idea that I would just use people. Use. I mean, when I was a little girl, using, that guy's really smart in algebra too. I think I'll hang out with him and get something from him. It was always getting, always, always getting. And what I'm learning and what these instructions really say to me are, again, there are two worlds. And if I'm in Wendy's world, I'm in self, and I'm uncomfortable, and I've got to change all of you so that I can get what I think I need. I need to be dependent on you to get my needs met. And it's I always say it's itchy and scratchy. And it's not God, and so it feels awful. It always feels awful. And God makes that so, that when I am in maximum usefulness to myself, I am uncomfortable beyond belief. And what happens is, as we practice this program, I'll speak for myself, I start to feel that intuitive knowing. I know instantly when I am using, when I'm in maximum usefulness to Wendy. And this book is the death of self, right? We start with step one, we're in self, big capital self, and it starts getting quieter and quieter, and we start living in God's world. So maximum usefulness, like as addicts, I know I need to hear the word maximum usefulness. And when I am useful to another human being, if I'm sitting in a situation and I'm super uncomfortable, and then I go, oh, right, I could be of maximum usefulness right now. I'm sitting with God's kids, and I can simply say, how are you? Tell me how you are. This morning, I texted a young woman, and, she said, good morning. And I said, oh, sweet girl, that is maximum usefulness, like doing and being in God's world. And God will tell us exactly how to do it. And it's so simple. It's simply, how are you? Can I be helpful to you? Tell me what's going on with you. Or it might be a call to my mother. The other day I'm talking to her, and God just powered through me. And I said, God, it's good to hear your voice. And the conversation shifted completely. I was of maximum usefulness. And what happens is I feel fabulous and I feel freedom. When I am of maximum usefulness to another human being, I feel tremendous freedom because I'm out of self. I'm out of the ickies. I'm out of the, what do I need to get from this person? Because when I'm trying to get from somebody, I had a date yesterday with a guy, and the minute I started wanting to get something from him, it was awful. It was an awful date. And then the minute I said, how are you? Tell me more about you.
Time, please.
Can I be helpful to you? Yeah. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. And Arlene B., you're up, followed by Dion R. Morning, Arlene.
Good morning, Arlene, abstinent in Los Angeles, California. The first thing that struck me about this was the last sentence. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives and God will keep you unharmed. I've had a lot of experience in relapse. And when I read that, I thought, yeah, in my program, I need to keep on the firing line. I need to keep remembering who I am and what I'm doing one day at a time and working with others is part of what helps me do that. And being abstinent for a while, what I do share is my experience, strength, and hope. I don't share advice, and I have to remember that to separate those two. I've had a lot of therapy, and I could easily go into a therapeutic answer. But I need to remember what works for me. And I noticed that the more I work with others, I would always sort of be people-pleasing. And I think that's a difference between a people-pleaser and being of maximum others, because people-pleasing sort of feeds me or is a protection to me that I learned very young. And being of maximum helpfulness to others is different. As long as I do the work for myself, I can be that. I can be in that place. I think that the longer I sponsor, the more I realize that it's not about me being nice, but it's about sharing what I do. It's about taking the action that I take and sharing that. And it's like I like that because it gives me more of a focus and more of a goal of being of maximum helpfulness to others. And at the same time, being of maximum help to myself by keep doing what I am doing to abstain one day at a time and God will keep me unharmed, certainly from binging if I do that. God, you know, cannot keep me unharmed for certain things in life that are with, that are not within anybody's control. And that I understand, and I accept that. God's job for me is to help me take the action and to help me meditate and to help me prayer and to do the things that bring me closer to Him. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene B. in California. And Dion R., good morning. You're up, followed by Sherry Jo C.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning again, Kathleen. My name is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. What sticks out to me today is, you should not hesitate, as many has brought out, you know, in this sharing today, about not hesitating to go to the sordid spot on the earth, on such an errand. And that's what I'm thinking about. Like, I keep thinking about when I would go sordid spots to help someone I wasn't supposed to be there. That wasn't my errand from my higher power. It was an errand from my self-will. I remember as a kid when my mom would send me on an errand, she'd put a like 50 cent in a balled up piece of note and they go to the store, take it to the store, give this note to the clerk at the store, the corner store or whatever, and get that loaf of bread and bring it back. That was my errand to do that. Now, I sometimes take detours or I didn't go straight there. And she was like, that's not the errand I told you to do. Yada, yada, I got in trouble, right? And that's what gets me in trouble. If I don't stay in alignment with my spiritual guide, I will do the wrong errand. I'll be doing Dion's will. And all in good faith and good heart. I got a good thought. Ooh, that's a good thought. I'll help that person. And I'll do that. But the main thing for me is to stay. When I stay in spiritual line, I don't get in trouble as much trying to help others. I can stay on the firing line. I could probably be like whatever, you know, walk through some fire. I don't know. Because it says this is a promise. Because if my motive, come on, it keep on the firing line of life. With these, when I keep my motive right, it's a promise back here that says God will keep me unharmed. But my motive, like many examples, is self. Ooh-wee. Then I'm mad and my lip poked out because it didn't turn out my way. So I got to remember and stay spiritually aligned. And what keeps me spiritually aligned is repetition of the 12 steps daily. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dion R. And Sherry Jo C., you're up, followed by Don B.
Good morning. Thank you so very much for the meeting. This is Sherry Jo C. in Southern California, recovered compulsive eater. This is a interesting paragraph. I like the beginning and I like the part at the end especially also. And actually, this paragraph, I really only need the first two words, your job. You know, I mean, as a compulsive eater, I was so unfocused. Oh my God, it was like, well, I mean, I guess I was focused on the food, but, you know, as far as like living life or being productive or being, you know, being of service to anyone else, I just was like, I mean, out of control eating just like devastates our lives. And I didn't really feel like I had any purpose. I mean, I know we're selfish and self-centered at the core, but I also think as human beings, you know, I believe, we all want to feel like we have some purpose in life, that, you know, there's maybe something that we can bring or contribute. Or, I mean, I did. I mean, even though I was selfish and self-centered, and I still can be, that wasn't who I really wanted to be. And, you know, when I read those words, your job, you know, it reminds me of one of the first meetings that I ever came to. And, yeah, they talked about being abstinent, and that seemed absolutely impossible to me. And I was like inspired by people saying that they hadn't eaten their binge food for years and all of that. But the word that really scared me that they talked about was the word responsibility. And I realized to that point, I'd been running from responsibilities. I'd been running, you know, I mean, the big book we talk about, we hear, you know, we see the reading, it says we're in full flight from reality. Well, that was me. I mean, I was running. I just ran to the food. I got scared of something. I got overwhelmed. I mean, I would just run to the food. And when I heard that word responsibility, it really hit me. I realized, you know, this is my personal responsibility. Like, no one's going to do this for me. And, you know, that theme just has continued to be sort of, I guess, my life preserver in the program, and realizing that, you know, having responsibilities to myself, to the people that I love, you know, to our fellows, to fellow sufferers, that's like my relief now. I mean, when I think about going somewhere and I'm thinking, what am I going to get out of this and what's the point? It's such an empty feeling. I just feel hungry, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But once I stop and think, wait a minute, like I have something to contribute, you know, I mean, even if we have a day of recovery, that's more than a lot of people ever have. And I've got years now, thanks to this program and thanks to, you know, my higher power. And I just think, wow, you know, it's a good feeling to have something to contribute. It's a good feeling to have a job, to have skills, you know, experience, strength and hope that I can share with somebody else. And, you know, I love the last part of this paragraph too, the firing line. I think it's a good, you know, paragraph for this time of year, the holidays. When I first got abstinent 32 years ago, one of the hardest things I did was go to my family gathering with the aunts, my dad's sisters, my four aunts, who, you know, not a single one of them was super supportive. But, you know, that was on the firing line. And, I got to practice my recovery in a not particularly friendly environment. And that just, you know, strengthened me even more. So thanks for the meeting. Thanks so much for everyone's shares and for everyone who's here today. Okay.
Thank you, Sherry Josie in California. And Dawn, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 102, the second paragraph. Your job now is to be at a place, and I'll be taking some more names after Dawn. So go ahead, please, Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Yeah, this is a beautiful paragraph. My job now is to be in the place where I can be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere I can be helpful. It just reminds me that I have a new employer now, and I'm no longer working for my selfish, self-centered desires, but my job throughout the day is to practice surrendering to my higher power's will. And this also reminds me of the third step prayer. And, you know, God, I offer myself to thee. So I'm offering myself to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. So whatever you want, God, that is my only goal. Relieve me of the bondage of self. So before, what I made my job was to work for, you know, what's in it for me, what I can get out of the situation, how can I be served? And now my job is to work for whatever my higher power's will is. Your will, God, is my only goal. Relieve me of the bondage of self. So before, I was in bondage to that, to my selfish will, my selfish desires. And now my freedom, I practice my freedom, is when I am having my first and foremost goal be my higher power's will. And we're seeking to be of maximum service to others. And so I love the words, the images that this paragraph contains. I shouldn't hesitate to go to the most sordid place, so the most despicable, the most foul, filthy, morally degraded. The definitions of sordid, they're spot on such an errand. So self-sacrifice, and then keep on the firing line. So that's the first line in the army that moves forward into enemy lines, you know, the first line of soldiers rushing into battle that know that they're probably going to be the first one shot, so that those behind them can succeed in the mission, but they're self-sacrificing themselves as they run into battle. And so that is my job, to self-sacrifice myself so that others can experience this beautiful gift that I have received. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. I think of myself, you know, back, I guess that's my time. So I think I'll go ahead and pass. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Don B. in California. Okay, well, if you have not shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on the second paragraph on page 102, I will take your name.
Veronica B.
Okay, I didn't hear either of you.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Emily L.
Emily L.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H.
Babylonia. Candy.
Okay, there was two people there. Who were you?
Babylonia.
Abalonia.
Babylonia.
And what's your initial, Abalonia?
All right, Babylonia A.
A, Babylonia A, okay.
Jody H.
Jody H. Okay, let's stop there because I'm not sure we'll have time for all of you.
Candy.
So go ahead, please, Veronica B.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Oh, I can't tell you how my heart is so full from all the shares. Thank you, everyone. This paragraph, my job is now to be in a place where I may be of maximum helpfulness to others. Maximum helpfulness to others. This paragraph tells me that it doesn't matter how I feel. It matters what I do. This is more action and more action. You know, for me is I have to take an action and then I reap the rewards from taking that action. And some days where I don't feel like showing up and being of service, I do it anyways. And then I get the reward by just showing up and just pushing through, you know, the feelings, you know. And the firing line for me, that's life. That's like everyday life. And this morning I'm sitting in the courthouse of the parking lot of a courthouse, and I have to go in and testify. There's a civil dispute happening with my family, and I have to show up for my mom and be my mom's advocate. And I don't like conflict, but I'm showing up for my mom. And it's very uncomfortable for me, but I'm showing up to be my mom's advocate. I'm doing a hard thing this morning. And I am safe and protected because I'm doing God's will today. Right. And this program has taught me like that I get to do the hard things and that I'm safe and protected regardless, as long as my motive is to be helpful. And as long as I keep this in mind, like I am always safe and protected. I am unharmed. And I trust God. I trust God's plan. I'm no longer living in the results business. So I just get to show up for life, even for the hard stuff. You know, and that's when I reap the reward because God is always taking care of me regardless of you know, what comes down in everyday life. And I don't have to eat over it. I'm not thinking about the food. I am safe and protected. So I get to do the hard stuff regardless of how I feel. I just take the actions and God's always protecting me. And as long as I, you know, keep on this motive of helpfulness, I'm always safe and protected. So thank you, everyone, for sharing today. It's just filled my heart, and have a nice day.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Emily L., you're up, followed by Ken W. H. Go ahead, Emily.
Hi, this is Emily, recovered bulimic, and really grateful for this meeting today. And I really like that paragraph. And I was thinking about how before marriage and kids, I did actually go visit some people in mental institutions and fellows who were there. They obviously had multiple issues going on besides eating disorder. But I was just thinking about what does this mean to be maxwell helpfulness to others, and I really, as someone who's like super high energy and has ADHD, like I love the super exciting go to the, you know, most sorted spot on earth, and yet I'm really seeing a lot at this point in my life, my maximum usefulness is being a positive, having a positive energy in my sort of life as a, you know, a mom and a wife, and, you know, like we're potty training now and like just staying super excited and encouraging, you know, when mistakes happen, and you know, instead of when, you know, when my husband comes down, immediately asking him for something I need help with, like giving him a kiss and saying, how are you? So that I'm demonstrating to my daughter what like a loving partnership is so that she sees that. Yeah, is that right? Maybe she's sitting on my lap right now. And, you know, so it's like these very mundane things. And I'm finding also a lot more like with my friendships, like this last time I went through this step, you know, a lot of stuff came up around sort of righteousness and that kind of thing. And so just instead of diving in with what I think they should do with their life, like being a better listener, you know, and that's how I can be of maximal usefulness to my friends, is by, you know, listening and instead of advising. And so, you know, I just really appreciate this contemplation of what does it mean to be of maximal usefulness? Sometimes it's not, you know, getting up at 3 a.m. And I mean, I don't have to seek out sponsees anymore. They just call. But, you know, you know, you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I understand where they were coming from when they wrote this. But the whole point is, like, what does it actually mean to be of maximal usefulness? Like, that might mean, like, I do something to nourish myself so that I can give more to my family, you know, instead of just denying my needs and then going on in this martyr state. So, you want some snacks? Okay, let's go get some snacks. So anyways, I'm really grateful for this meeting, and yeah, that's all, thanks.
Thank you, Emily L. And Ken WH, you're up, followed by Bologna A. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. This is Ken WH, traveling in Mississippi on the Natchez Trace, heading back to North Carolina. Glad to be here this morning. Grateful for phone meetings that I can access anywhere on the planet, actually. This being of maximum usefulness and actually getting out of self, that whole thing, relieve me of the bondage of self. We do pray that in the morning. And it's relieving me of the bondage of myself is the thing I needed to be aware of. What I used to think was I got to throw myself out, that my entire self, my entire being was useless, and that I needed to throw myself out. And that if I did do that, then I'd become a hole in a donut and have no idea what this is all about. But I've come to understand that I do have a self. The problem is the ego becoming terribly distorted for me, and a real wrong sense of self, or a misguided sense of self that just turned inward and everything was about me. And I've come to learn that, you know, in fact, my higher power may want me to be a hole in a donut, and that may be my most useful way of being, and that's okay. I can live with that today because myself is centered in another self, is centered in God of my understanding. And that just keeps me going, keeps me aware that, yet I'm still who I am. I'm still a human being, and I still do have something to offer. And God makes that possible for me, and at times makes me pretty useful, I think. And that's okay, too. Sometimes I'm not, and that's really okay, too. Used to not be. But now it's okay for me to not be useful in a particular situation. Maybe the best thing I can do is step out to be the most useful. But it's a great message, and I'm grateful for it, and I'm grateful that I can follow some of that today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. in North Carolina. And Bologna A, you're up, followed by Jody H. Go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I basically am trying to be of maximum use. That's how the program has changed me, but not in a sense where I'm not taking care of myself and I'm trying to do everything for others in a people-pleasing way. I think it's coming more from a place of I'm taking care of myself and now I can help others. Because when I was in the food, I was still trying to be of service because of my Christian background, but it was that I was miserable inside. And so now I'm exercising, I'm not in the food, and I want to be helpful to others because I'm very socially anxious. I'm afraid of other people and rejection and their opinion of me, and so it keeps me like kind of in the bondage of self. But I know the promises of the program are that fear of other people will leave us. So I know the longer I stay abstinent, the more I'll start to love myself and my body image, and my ego will change and I'll have a psychic change. So I'm really excited for that, and it gives me hope every day that I'll start changing. But I know it's not going to be overnight, and I think that from that place that then I could be of maximum service, because I know you don't have to be perfect to be of maximum service, that everybody has something to offer, everybody has gifts. But I think if I'm in the bondage of self deeply, then I don't know how to love others as well, and it's from a codependent place. So thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Abalonia A. And Jody H., go ahead, please.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. My name is Jody H. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. This meant so much to me today. This is perfect timing. This maximum service idea, it goes beyond myself, that's for sure. And it's how I live. And I think of step 11 when I think of being maximum service, that I would pray only for God's will for me and the power to carry that out. How do I carry God's will out for me today? Well, I carry it out by being me, be living in the program and just being myself. I'm handicapped, so it's very difficult to get, I don't own a vehicle, so I have problems getting to in-person meetings. And somebody once said to me, who was giving me a ride, I'm so glad that you need rides, because it's of maximum service to me. And I was like, oh, that is so sweet. Just something so simple as me being in pain, me being handicapped, am a blessing to someone else because of my condition, not besides my condition, but because of who I am. And I'm such a blessing. And I noticed that one just recently, about a couple months ago, I had a sponsee, and she said, I'm just not ready, after a couple weeks of working with her. And I said, that's okay. You have my number. Call me when you are ready. And she goes, but I've been such a bother to you. And I'm like, you're not a bother. You have blessed me. I had started to slide on writing down my food plan. And because I was working with her and helping her, it had helped my program to get more online. And I explained that to her, and she was blessed. And that's my life today. I want it to be a blessing, especially in this holiday season. I want to be a blessing to others. And I can do that by just being myself and living my life the way it is. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody H. from Maine. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., would you please read a vision for you? Star one, Dion. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read this because I think we might have lost Dion. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship to him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God. As you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you surely will meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.